Ever wanted to know what BDSM is? The rules, the life, the rationale? Well, we've got one heck of a teacher on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah! Internationally known sexuality, relationships, and personal authenticity educator Lee Harrington is with us today. And I'm curious, what in the world is kink, and what is BDSM?
So kink is this broad, overarching concept for all sorts of sexuality that aren't what the world would consider mainstream, right? That's everything from people who are into swinging, people who are into cross-dressing, people who like being spanked on the bottom, people who like playing dress-up and role-playing in the bedroom. It's all of that stuff, right? All of that sauciness. Now, on the other hand, BDSM, it's just shorthand. It's just an acronym that says bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, sadism and masochism, which is all about receiving and giving intense sensations.
Intense sensations. Mm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned cross-dressing. I never thought of cross-dressing as falling under something that's considered kinky. It just seemed like I don't know. I don't see it as kinky. Can you shine some light on that for me?
So kinky is really subjective, right? I think of my co-author for my book, Playing Well with Others, Melina Williams. She tells a story of dating this guy. We're there in the bedroom and, you know, having lots of fun. And it's stuff that's like, you know, holding her down and calling her names and all this stuff. And in the morning, she said, "I thought you said you weren't kinky." And he said, "I'm not kinky. That's just how I play." Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because kinky is really subjective. And so for some people, cross-dressing is incredibly kinky. Mm-hmm. For other people, it's Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You don't think...
For some people... Huh? Go ahead, please.
No, I was just looking at Frank. I'm like, you don't think cross-dressing is kinky? What do you think it is?
I mean, when I think of kinky, I think of sexual. And I don't think of cross-dressing as sexual. It may be gender something, genderal or something. I made up a word,
right?
Of course. But, you know, it doesn't strike me as being a sexual experience.
Oh,
well, and that's a fascinating thing, too, is that some people, what they're into that's kinky is just about what they're doing for sex. For other people, it's choosing an alternative relationship structure, right? Like people who are choosing to be the dominant partner and a submissive partner, and it's not even necessarily straight up about the sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fascinating broad umbrella of stuff. And so to me, when someone tells me they're kinky, all I know is that we have a start of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know, that I'm up for an adventure of a conversation.
Gotcha.
Nice.
What's the demographic around kink? Who participates in this type of experience?
So there's a public kink community, which is people who have all kinds of different sexual and emotional styles of and relationship styles, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this big public community of folks who do stuff. And in that community in the last 20 years, I've met folks who are 18 years old and 98 years old, and I am not exaggerating on that. He was such a cute little white-haired man in latex pants in London who was just the delightful little soul. And I have met people of every single racial background, every single educational background, people who are, you know, Occupy Wall Street protesters and people who were working on Wall Street, right? It is all about people being authentic in what gets them connected with their partners.
Mm-hmm.
In what has them be satisfied in their emotional life, their sexual life, and their relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not one specific thing. Now, if I walk into a club, am I going to see more Caucasian, middle to upper middle class individuals who are between, you know, 30 and 50? Yeah, because that's who's spending money to go out on a Saturday night to go to a club like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not about who's doing these things in the bedroom,
mm.
right? Mm-hmm. That is across demographics.
Interesting. Okay.
So after cruising through your book, I thought to myself, everybody's probably got a little kink in them. It's just, I couldn't even imagine somebody being 100% vanilla. And I'll leave the terms to you, Lee, but I just found myself thinking, it's just like you spoke about earlier when you were talking about your co-author's experience. The guy, he didn't think he was kinky. And mm-hmm. yet how he played fell under the umbrella of kink for her. So I just found myself thinking, you know, I think everybody may have a little dose of kink. It's just degrees by degrees.
And you know, I have to say, well, what's yours?
Come on, Frank. We haven't been on the air 5 hot minutes. I'm not even warm, let alone warmed up.
It sounds like you're warm.
it's funny. Like in our culture, all the time, I get asked as a guy, are you a breast guy or are you a butt guy?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
CRA, what are you into? Mm-hmm. But fetishizing those parts of the body, that's okay. But fetishizing legs? Mm, right? Mm. Or someone's feet, or liking seeing somebody dressed up in a corset and stockings, or wearing latex or leather. Okay. Like, that's somehow weird. But if I say to people, like, I like a specific type of shelf of butt, that's normal.
A what? A
shelf.
Shelf. Okay.
Yeah.
Shelf,
right?
Yeah.
Like how far out that puppy comes before it comes back in.
Yum, yum.
Right.
Well,
somehow I knew he'd understand that.
Onion.
Onion.
In her culture, some kinds of what some people would consider kinky is more acceptable,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That if you are a very feminine, curvy woman and wants to throw on a slinky latex dress, that's okay, right? But if you're an older, balding guy who wants to put on a latex cat suit, that's somehow weird.
Yeah, that's out there.
Same material.
The visuals.
It's just a judgment about gender and body type and cultural story.
Yeah, I gotta tell everybody listening and everybody here, I must be at some level I'm a prude, cause you know when I'm listening to a middle aged bald guy being in a latex cat suit, I'm like, whoa, you know, it throws
too far
me,
out of
and
the
I
box.
Thought he was gonna say. And a middle-aged bald guy being in a latex dress. That was, that even. But
right.
So, just work with me. Work
We're
with me
expanding
as I'm learning.
The terrain for Frank Lee.
And the reason I'm throwing this out there is because when people talk about sexual tastes, mm-hmm. right, or certain types of relationship, our culture so bogged down on it's okay if it's a girl and she's 25,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it's okay if he's rich, or it's okay if they're pretty.
Mm-hmm.
To me, all of these things that people call kink or sex or whatever, it's all about everyone having the right to be authentic in how they do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
I like the thing about deep pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nancy. I think we're getting there. So.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Because the more true we are to ourselves, the more present we are with our own thoughts and desires and connections and relationships, the more us, we as individuals are, the deeper we're going to be connected, the deeper we're going to be happy in our lives, the more satisfied we're going to be. More likely we're going to have pleasant conversations with our kids, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's about being full of ourselves and in it being happy.
Okay.
Well, all right.
That's my take.
Welcome to
there you go.
Frank Relationship.
A little bit of heaviness for the morning.
No, we're going to go even heavier, I guess.
I love it.
There's so much more to talk about.
Yes.
Welcome to Frank Relationships. a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and accepting, flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and if via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy.
Hi, Frank.
Nancy Goldring, the consummate generalist.
Indeed.
How you doing?
I'm getting my kink on. That's how I'm doing.
Her hands are under the table, so I'm not sure what that means.
They are officially out. I may have to sit like hands this up for the rest of the show.
Today's guest is an internationally known sexuality, relationships, and personal authenticity educator. Having taught in all 50 states, that's a lot of traveling. I think I travel a lot, but 50 states?
Yeah.
So you've been to Alaska?
He lives in
Alaska. I live in Alaska. You're calling me at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Y'all went straight to it. He lives in Alaska, the state I pick out as the most obscure.
Right. All right.
Having taught...
My favorite place to teach, actually.
Uh-huh.
I loved getting to teach about power exchange and, like, people who are dominant and submissive in a library in Butte, Montana.
Mm. Okay.
Montana. There's a lot of perverts in Montana. I love it.
I'm assuming the librarian there didn't know exactly what you were talking about.
Well, it's a delightful little concept that, you know, so if people are in the D.C. area, right, like y'all are, there are BDSM clubs and there's local groups that get together and do education and classes. There's some great sex shops in the area, especially in Baltimore. Like, there's some great spaces. But in Montana, they don't have those kinds of spaces. There's just not the population for them. Mm-hmm. So there's an online website called FetLife.com, which is for fetish lifestyle, right?
Okay.
FetLife.
Uh-huh.
And it's like Facebook for people of all kinds of sexual interests, right? To talk to each other. You can't go cruising. It's not like Adult Friend Finder, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just have a one-night whatever, but you can go and meet people in your area and have conversations or find people with the same interests as you. And in that area, what they do is they have those little online networks, and they get together for coffees for these things called munches, right? So it's slang for a burger munch. It's out of the Bay Area from about 25, 30 years ago. But they get together for these coffees, and they decided, hey, this guy is going to be coming through to North Dakota to teach. We should have him over and do some classes here in Montana while he's here. All of our people from our local coffee, their coffee group got together and contacted the local library and said, hey, we're doing a relationships class, because they were, right? We were talking about these people being able to explore how they could be really deliciously satisfied by both consensually choosing to be a more dominant partner and a more submitting or submissive partner for the length of their, you know, sexual play or for the point of their lifestyle, depending on how they do it. And they did it at a relationships class, and it was so much fun.
Lee? Mm. Lee?
Yeah?
Can I finish my intro?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He wants to tell the world who you are.
Yeah, let me. Having taught in all 50 states and a number of other countries, he brings a combination of playful engagement, sexy dialogue, and thoughtful academic discussion to a broad audience. He's also an award-winning author and editor on human gender, sexual, and sacred experience. His books include Playing Well with Others, Your Guide to Discovering, Exploring, and Navigating the BDSM, Kink, and Leather Communities, Shibari, You can use Japanese rope bondage and erotic macrame and sacred kink, the eightfold paths of BDSM and beyond. And that's just to name a few. You can check out the trouble Lee has been getting into, as well as his regular podcast, tour schedule, free essays, videos, and more over at passionandsoul.com. So, if you, like me, want to know how important would you say the role of fantasy is in relationships, how kink is a physical approach to clearing our minds, yeah, that sounds like an interesting place to go, and if there's kink etiquette, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with none other than Lee Harrington. Welcome to the show.
It's a delight to be here.
There you go. We're back on track now.
Before we get too deep in today's subject matter, that's like we've passed that part. I want to check in to see what's going on in the news. So, Lee, please don't be bashful. We certainly want your thoughts, too, about whatever comes to the forefront of the conversation. And I want to put out immediately Fences.
Fences.
Go see Fences.
Go see Fences,
Fences,
people.
Is an incredible movie and story.
Yes.
It's an experience.
You saw it?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Really?
Wow.
I didn't think I would react the way I did because I read the play many years ago.
Yes.
What Denzel Washington did as a director.
Yeah.
Basically, there's three sets.
Yes.
It's a play.
Uh-huh.
It's in the house, it's in the yard, and it's on the street.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Done.
That's it.
I was captured, and it's black, but it's life lesson. My wife and I both were in tears.
Wow.
Unbelievable. He should win whatever he's up for.
Right.
And How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Viola Davis.
Viola killed it.
Mm-hmm. She killed it.
Yes. Did you see it, Lee?
I haven't, but okay. I've always loved her work.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So several places I want to take it. One is when I talk about the movie, I'm like, it's a black movie. It's a black experience. But to hear you say that, like it's human, it makes me feel more comfortable with making it more encompassing.
There are some dynamics that I actually had to explain to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't give away anything by saying this. I always thought it was a hip hop thing. Spill a little for those who've, when he takes out his bottle and he spills for those who've died before us.
Yeah.
I thought that was a 90s hip hop thing.
I got it.
But it's a Southern,
it's
real.
It's African.
It goes back to the original. Yeah.
So there are little nuances like that.
Sure.
But anyone who's had a father.
Wow.
Anyone who's had a grandfather or uncle with troubles, anyone who's had a child has got to see this play,
this
movie. That's how I feel about it.
That is so good to hear you say.
I'm telling you.
I had no idea Jeff saw the movie. Nancy and I have talked about it. I talked to you like 2 days after I saw it. You had already seen it.
Right.
And we chopped it up about it. But
powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful. I want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
And Bubba Gump killed it too.
Bubba Gump.
Wasn't he incredible?
Yeah. I don't know his name. The actor who played.
The black guy, the brother.
Yeah. I didn't recognize him.
He's from Forrest
Gump.
Yeah. He's the shrimp company guy.
Wow, he's so much smaller now, he seemed. Maybe he's just older. I don't know.
Talk about
excellent.
Incredible movie. And he brought so much. I mean, there's so.
Yeah.
Just wow.
Go see
Talk about a complicated story. But, also, August Wilson, you know, 30 years ago, I want to say, Eddie Murphy, let me see, it's 2000, what is it,
17.
So 30 years ago would be 87.
Okay.
Is that right?
Easily.
Eddie Murphy had, I believe, he had definitely talked about wanting to do Fences. And he may have procured the rights or something like that.
97.
Was it?
97.
Okay. So August Wilson insisted that a African American director direct the movie. He absolutely insisted.
Oh, interesting.
And while he could not force it upon the folks who had procured the rights,
sure,
legally, they didn't want to go against his wishes.
Okay.
So apparently Eddie Murphy had the perspective. He said, well, I'm not going to get a director just because he's black.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And August Wilson said, well, I don't want you to. I want you to get a good black director.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so it never happened.
Wow.
And lo and behold, you know, X number of years later,
Denzel Washington to get does his it. Director.
And Denzel Washington, in the interviews I've seen with him, he's saying part of the power of a black director was being able to capture some of the black experience, mm-hmm. like Jesus' picture on the wall,
man.
Martin Luther King,
don't get me started,
Kennedy,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
those different nuances that went into being able to relate to that era for the African American. It was. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the couches with the plastic on them.
Oh my gosh! It was marvelous set design.
Yeah,
no question.
They nailed it. And like you said, there were three sets.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Just like in a play.
Yeah,
exactly.
Out front, out back, and in the house.
Yeah. This show is usually about relationships.
100%.
There you go. You should do a show on the dynamics.
Yeah.
Of fences.
So we'll have to wait until
Nancy, call Denzel and maybe
and get
next
him
week
in here.
We'll stop by.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
No thing.
Love it.
Okay, well that wraps up, Lucy.
Thanks for being on, Lee.
I saw Viola Davis and Denzel were both
on the Golden Globe
Award.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when they also gave her the platform that she introduced Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Receiving her Lifetime Achievement Award.
Mm-hmm.
And the interaction between the two of them, of how they inspired each other as actresses, and that they both didn't think that they could speak up to each other, part of it around race,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How they speak up to this woman, and see both of them so inspired by each other.
Yeah.
I love seeing that kind of love in all these relationships that come up. And when I saw everybody, the Fences were getting mad reviews on that, and I've been looking forward to seeing it since. Glad to see three more people talking well about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very well.
Definitely.
The snotty nose Viola Davis did, that scene.
Oh, was that real?
That was so powerful.
I was like, when is she going to wipe her nose? But I thought, this is not the movies. This is real.
Talk about powerful dialogue.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been really enjoying movies recently. I watched a movie called Nebraska.
Hmm.
And it was about, did you see it?
Yeah.
You saw Nebraska? Wow.
Nebraska was nominated for 6 Academy Awards
two years ago.
I didn't know that. I never heard of it.
Yeah, Bruce Dern killed that one. Just a personal note, my father and I were going through something very similar.
Really?
At the time. So that movie just took me out. But even down to the fact that it was in black and white.
Yeah.
This was another relationship life lesson type movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, and mind you, the only reason I saw the movie, I bought it. It was a movie sitting on the shelf at 7-Eleven that you can get for $3. That I just said, good reviews written on it. I just picked it up, $3.
Okay.
But it was incredible.
Wow.
I mean, it was a people movie. And so that was one movie I've seen recently that was just about people. There are no good guys, no bad guys. And that's one of the beauties of Fences. If the way Viola Davis brings it all together at the end, she makes it clear there was no bad guys.
No victims.
It was incredible.
No villains,
So in Nebraska, no victims. They're just people. And as this other wacky movie I saw, there was a people movie called The Woman in the Van. It was a British movie about this woman who...
That's kink at its height. And I don't even know what it was about.
Well, here it is.
Okay.
She was an old woman who was she was kind of a hoarder.
Mm.
And she lived in a van in a playwright's garage, not the garage, driveway.
Okay.
In his home. And it was just these two getting along, and they were both weird and wacky, and he let her live there.
Yeah.
And there was something that they got out of one another. It was great. It was great. So I'm digging these movies that are just about people. No, no violence. Mm. No, nobody's chasing anybody, shooting at anybody. Yeah, it's just people.
A girl
stuff.
And a gun. Yeah.
And Nebraska. Mm. For those of you who may be curious about Nebraska, since I've mentioned it, it's about a older gentleman who, and Jeff mentioned that he and his dad went through a dynamic like this. So it's about an older gentleman who gets a publisher's clearinghouse thing in the mail that says you've won $100 million if,
right,
you know, whatever you.
Right.
Yeah,
and he keeps doing it.
And no, all he sees is he's won $100 million or $1 million, whatever the amount is. So he's set out to go to this office to get his millions.
His money.
His teeth to get his millions.
From the old school.
Yes. And the son, he's setting out to go, and he like is going out to the corner to hitchhike, and he's just start going out walking and that sort of, I mean, he's just intent on going. And finally his son says, "All right, Dad, I'll take you." And so it's the experience that the two of them have along the way.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Okay.
And Mike Hammer, you remember Mike Hammer?
On Stacey Keach.
Stacey Keach.
Yeah.
He plays a hell of a role in this movie.
Wow.
He's a real sleaze bucket.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Okay.
Onwards.
All right. All right, Lee. Let's move it on.
It's all good.
How is kink a physical approach to clearing our minds? That's
you like that?
That's quite a characterization.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some forms of physical sexuality, just like I mentioned before. That notion of dominance and submission, right, is about connecting with each other. It's people taking on different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And sadism, masochism, is about receiving sensation and giving sensation, right? And so in both of those cases, it's about focus. It's about consciousness.
Hmm.
It's about being present.
Mm-hmm.
That if I am choosing in dominance and submission to consciously surrender my will to someone else and say, "I trust you."
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am handing my heart and my spirit and this entire experience over to you. And that the person in return says, "I accept this gift."
Mm-hmm.
"This is a huge honor. Thank you so much." But I'm not saying these words out loud, right? It's often with a smirk or a hand grabbing the back of the hair.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, everything else fades away.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being there. It's a form of really intense, in my experience, almost physical meditation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because unlike other forms of sexuality where it's almost being a consumer, right? You go in, you get your one thing done, and you leave.
Mm.
When I am engaging in alternative forms of sexual practice or things that are highly present and conscious, I have to be present and conscious.
Mm-hmm.
If I am spanking someone, I have to be present with them and not thinking about something else because I could hurt them.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to be there and in the moment, not unplugged.
So
to me, that's one of the ways you do that.
Isn't hurting them part of the goal?
So there's a difference between hurt and harm.
Okay.
I think harm would have been a better word for it.
Okay.
Because hurt is just your brain giving you information.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your back hurts at the end of a long day at work. It's because you worked really hard and your body wants you to stop.
Okay.
Right? And so there's a difference between me giving you a sensation that is intense and takes us both on a journey, even if it's a really intense sensation, as compared to doing something that damages me. It's like going on a runner's high. Your body at the very end of it, yeah, it's going to hurt, but it was a good hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hurt that was satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, I'm curious your thoughts on the the novels 50 Shades of Grey, which over the past 5 years, let's say, has been for many an introduction to the mindset of S&M. Personally, I thought they were horribly written, but there was no story.
Okay.
You know, for me, I read all three of them.
Okay.
Because my daughter called it mommy porn.
Yes.
But my wife and her, you know, contemporaries read them, and it was like a revelation for them because maybe they never read Penthouse Forum. I don't know.
Gotcha.
But professionally, did you think that it depicted the life accurately and what it has done for the reputation of those who practice?
So the 50 Shades of Grey novels, they were intended originally to be Twilight bodice ripper fan fiction.
Whoa.
Say that. Like, that was their original intention, and they changed the names to be able to legally publish it. So there's that piece that needs to be acknowledged.
Say that again. Yeah. Right. Twilight
bodice ripper.
It was fan fiction. It was meant to be a bodice ripper, right? Like Fabio. These were not meant to be high-end novels.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't.
They were meant to be what is called mommy porn, right?
Oh, okay.
They were meant to be hot, fun titillators, not to be serious works of art.
Got it.
They just happened to get really popular.
Mm-hmm.
They went viral.
Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's one of the things that I tell people first off is if you're looking for a really good novel.
This ain't it.
If you're looking for, this is not where to start, right? It just happened to be what made onto, you know, best-selling, you know, lists. So I want to say that first. It's not the best novel out there. It's not the best place to start as far as either accurate kinky sex information
mm-hmm.
or about really well-written dialogue or plot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay.
It's not.
Okay.
But with that said, in all fairness, there are a couple of good things and a couple of not-so-good things. The good things were that it introduced the concept of negotiation. Here are a whole bunch of things that I'm interested in. What are your things you're saying yes to, and what are the things you're saying no to?
Okay.
Because in a lot of dating, we don't do that, right? When I talk to people from the, quote, vanilla world, you used that term earlier, which basically means instead of being Rocky Road with your ice cream, you're vanilla,
mm-hmm.
right? You might want to put sprinkles on occasion, but... And so for a lot of people I know who date, you don't bring up on the first date, what are you into?
Okay. Which we should.
Right?
Which we should.
Which would be really useful,
yeah.
right? When
yeah.
we're like, you know, and so I love that it brings that up.
Okay.
And I love the fact that it brings up in those books just a whole lot of categories of stuff that people haven't thought about. Because it gets people's brains going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is luscious and important. The bad things? He's a stalker.
Oh.
But the man is just like, he hacks into her computers, gets addresses, shows up on her mother's door. Like, he's just a creepy stalker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the second problem with, oh, go ahead, please, Frank.
Is this, I haven't read it, didn't see the movie.
No.
Is he a stalker that she knows, or is he stalking her in order to broach a relationship or
something? No, they're in relationship.
Oh, so he's stalking.
And he just, that's just his manner.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's the story is about an 18-year-old virgin or 22-year-old virgin who falls in love with a multimillionaire who turns out to have a dark past, who is a dominant, you know, girl master type, I have millions of dollars and will dominate you and keep you in a penthouse, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a frail young thing who doesn't know what to do with this dark brooding character.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those books.
Gotcha.
And so there is sweetness to it, but the dangers are that he's a crazy stalker
mm-hmm.
who it is implied by the time you get to book two that the reason he's into all of these different sexual practices is because he was abused as a child,
mm-hmm.
which is not true. For the bulk of human beings that I have met who are into any of these practices, it's because they're fun and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or connective, or whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem is that he has his boundaries violated on a regular basis, too. The man puts down that I don't want you to touch me unless you warn me ahead of time first, because I have a history of people touching me non-consensually without my permission, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I only want to have relationships that are in this form because I feel safe in them. We can talk about things down the road, but this is the type of relationship I need.
Mm-hmm.
And consistently, she violates both of those boundaries. You know, saying, I'll only be with you if you don't do this type of relationship you like. It's just, both of them are really unhealthy human beings. And they're poorly written books. So, and I think it's a shame, because what you bring up about it waking people up is so true. The communities that I'm spending a lot of time around right now, I was talking with some folks in Columbus, Ohio. Has a huge kinky sex population of all places. But I mean, it's Ohio, so I guess that, you know,
it's something to do.
Something to do, especially on a cold winter night, right? People get creative on cold winter nights. And I have a friend of mine who helps run a club there, and they were saying that since 50 Shades came out, every single month at their 101 class, like, what is this stuff, right? Understanding the difference between, you know, tying somebody up safely or, you know, having somebody just be hurt potentially in a bad way,
right?
All of their 101 classes have 100 attendees in them a month. With very few repeating faces.
That's bad?
That's huge.
Okay. Huge.
Okay.
100 people?
Right? When, like, before 50 Shades, it was like 30 people would be in a class.
So the interest is there.
Yeah.
Right. The interest is there. And what I love about that is that people are actually coming out and giving more information.
Right.
What
publicly.
I'm sad about is when I hear people say, oh, well, I read 50 Shades. I know how to do it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, no, you now have passion and intrigue and curiosity. And curiosity is luscious and so important in every part of our life. Right, whether it's curiosity about what we're going to do with our work, curiosity about our relationships, curiosity about what our kids are into, right? Curiosity is really important, but it doesn't mean you know how to do it. Whatever it is, it's a start.
Well, speaking of it, you mentioned what BDSM stands for, but I really don't know visually and I guess practically what they are. So let's take it from the top. B.
Absolutely.
Bondage?
B is right. Bondage.
Okay. Can you describe what bondage looks like?
Erotic restraint. So that could be holding someone down. That could be having them deliciously wrapped up in ropes. That could be somebody with a Velcro cuffs held, you know, strapped down to the mattress. That could be somebody in, in a leather jacket with the wrists buckled together behind the back, or it could be a pair of handcuffs. It's a huge category of stuff. Some of it decorative, some of the things that people are going to wear for, you know, tied to a bed or held down to a bed for 5 minutes, and sometimes something that somebody's going to be in for 2 or 3 hours. It really varies.
Okay. All right. We've got an in-studio
demonstration.
What's funny was I thought a visual aid would help. So I wrapped a cord around Nancy's wrist. She took her jacket off and gave me the other wrist.
That's
hilarious. Well, the challenge with that is, right, like, oh, okay, we're just going to tie a cable around your wrist. That's fun. But I've seen people who hear those kinds of ideas and go home and take, say, a pair of pantyhose, tie it really tightly around their partner's, you know, wrists and not know. And I'm sure women who have been there lingerie washing at home before know this. Pantyhose get into knots that you can't undo. Especially if you pull on them and pull on them and pull on them. People don't know. You could have a pair of those bandage scissors, right? Those like emergency scissors that you can then cut yourself out of them if you need to. People think, oh, this is a hot thing, and don't realize that you could get in trouble.
Yeah.
There could be a problem that happens. Somebody could have circulation problems. Somebody could have problems with not being able to get out of the tie. You could have your kids walk in. Though, honestly, kids don't get shocked. I know people who say, like, oh, my God, I've scarred my kids for life. No, your kid went, Mom, Dad, you're weird, and then they left. Kids have been, like, I don't know, did any of you guys have that thing where, you know, you were on the playground and you did, you know, did role-playing of different sorts, right? This person's playing doctor.
Yeah.
Right? Or playing nurse. We were doing all these naughty games as kids, right? We've been role-playing since we were kids. We've been, you know, some of us, we've been getting tied up since we were kids when we were getting tied to a tree or whatever. Like, we're just playing games as adults. And by doing so, bring that joy back into our connection.
play.
Does one have sex with a person when they're tied up, or just tying them up the satisfaction in and of itself?
It's entirely based on what you negotiate ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And when I say ahead of time, I say before people are getting their pants off or people getting any of the bondage gear out, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've had people who, you know, I'll tie them up and they'll be, and ahead of time, it's like, oh, I just want to know what it feels like. And when they're in everything, they're like, oh, no, I want to do more. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm not going to believe you unless you tell me before you get turned on.
Mm.
Because once I have somebody physically restrained,
dangerous.
If I then do things to somebody, that's assault.
Right.
Would you take the person who is saying that they want more when handcuffed, would you take the cuffs off and talk about it and then put them back on and go further?
Or would it have to be a separate engagement?
Entirely depends on people's personal limits and how well I know someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
With my partner for the last 4 years, we've negotiated over layers of time. So if she and I, you know, go, oh, well, we're just going to do a little bondage tonight, but it turns into something more, it's okay because we know each other and we've been going there for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. That's very different than, you know, somebody that you meet on OkCupid or whatever, that you get together and go, okay, well, what we're going to do is I'm going to blindfold you, tie you to a bed, and tickle your body with different sensations. Right, help the fur and feathers, and that's what we're going to do is just sensation exploration. Mm-hmm. Right, we're just going to try different feelings because our body picks up more sensation when we can't see.
Mm.
We just notice things differently, and so that's what we've agreed to. Would I do anything more than that with the person that I've just met for the first or second or third time? I personally wouldn't, but that's my own mind, right? Everybody draws their own line.
Okay, paint a picture for the D, dominant.
Okay, so there's two different D's. There's bondage and discipline, and bondage and discipline, and dominance and submission. So first D is discipline.
Okay.
Spanking someone with a bare hand, throwing them over your lap.
Is a discipline?
It can be. It's disciplining
someone. Oh, got it.
That's
right.
Where the discipline comes from.
Oh, okay.
To discipline someone.
Got it.
It could be having somebody receive a cane stroke like they're in an English boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It could be, there's a thing called a flogger, which is a long, whole bunch of long leather tails attached to a handle, and using it very rhythmically and thuddingly against someone's back as if they're a human drum.
They use that.
Those are all discipline. It's about receiving sensation. But also the discipline part of it is the role-playing segment to a degree of, you know, you've been a very naughty boy. Mm-hmm. You have to go do X, Y, and Z.
Now, with the disciplining, do you have to come up with something that they did that was naughty, or you just got to tell them that they were naughty?
That's part of the game.
It's a game, right? I love it. Here's my fantasy. Here's mine. So I know some people that will write out elaborate scripts ahead of time, right? That will even do, you know, interrogation fantasies, right? Where, you know, I've caught you, you're the Russian spy, and I found out that you were the one doing all the hacking. And now that I have you here, and, you know, they create these storylines that are very embellished.
So what do you do with the Russian spy? You spank him?
Before you turn him over to the authorities.
In those ones, some people's fantasies aim towards the darker fantasies, shall we say, that sometimes involve more negotiation, right? Mm. That's not for everybody's taste.
Right.
For more people I know, it's the, oh, you've been a very naughty girl. You have to crawl over here with that hairbrush in your mouth, and I'm going to spank you with your hairbrush. That's more what we mean by discipline for most people.
Okay.
All right. The other D?
Dominance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To dominate, to lord over someone. I think of, I have friends of mine that are dominatrixes, right, which is that dominant part of it, that are dominant women that have men pay good money to be at their feet because they are lower or submitting, right, dominant, submissive.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking on either or both of those roles and handing over the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lee, can you speak a bit about how oftentimes there are very powerful men who pay, just like you say, women to play this role for them as if it's some kind of catharsis for them, and then it somehow empowers them to go back into their lives where they are the chief dominators. And by some mystery, they're more effective.
So I know some people that engage in these types of activities that are 100% on one side of the, you know, dominant, submissive, if that's a 1 to 10, that are always at that 10.
Okay.
Right? Because they are, you know, dominant women in the workplace and they are dominant women in the home.
Okay.
Right? And dominant women in the bedroom, all three of the above. But I know other folks where there is an opportunity through engaging in these kinds of activities to blow off the steam of the pressure of life. Mm-hmm. Whether it is, you know, in the case of surrendering, right? That right now I am going to put all of it on your shoulders so that I can go into this zen state, or that I can cry it all out or scream it all out. For other people, receiving these intense sensations reminds them how powerful they are. Right? When somebody's yelling at you at the office, you could be like, honey, I've taken worse in the bedroom.
Okay.
Right? You cannot destroy me. And then I know other people for whom they're oftentimes, you know, the ones working at Burger King or are doing stuff in the filing room all the time. And for them, there's that opportunity to take on that mantle of dominance. Mm-hmm. And for the next 2 hours that we're together, I am your queen. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am your lord. Okay. I am your master, whatever it is, right? Okay.
So is it possible Yoda was beating Luke's ass?
See, I cannot claim responsibility for this guy. I just can't. I just can't. I try.
Tight leather I have.
I know enough Star Wars nerds, but there's probably one nerd in your audience being like, oh my God, I want to do that now. Yeah. That sounds so hot.
No question. Leave the lightsaber alone.
May the force be with you.
Wow. That's a beautiful. Y'all are beautiful. I love it.
Okay. All right.
How'd you get so hot on this, Lee? How'd you get so passionate about, you know, this whole dynamic BDSM kink? You know what I'm saying? What's your story?
Well, for me, I was really lucky.
Okay.
I don't know how to think of it necessarily, but that I've been given a lot of permission in my life to explore my own sense of self.
Oh, right.
Right. And my very first person I was dating, they basically said, what do you want to try? And I said, well, I've seen these things, and they came with me with a whole lot of ideas. And it wasn't any story of one thing was good or not.
Okay.
And I wasn't ever given the sexual stigma in my family around doing any of these things make you a horrible person, which I think some people come with that story of experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a really interesting thing for me that I'm, you know, I'm not even 40, and I've been in part in the public BDSM community for 20 years, right? As long as I've been legal.
Hmm.
Wow.
And, right. And I had already discovered stuff before I was, you know, of age with my people I was first dating when I was a teen. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel a longing when I hear stories from people that I know that are, we found this stuff when we were 60. Because they came, like, I think you have a specific couple who was in one of my classes that they only discovered these kinds of things when they were like in their late 50s, early 60s. And they'd been together for over 25, 30 years by that point.
Wow.
And so when she brought up to her husband, hey, I read this thing, would you mind blindfolding me and tying me to the bed some night? I know that's kind of edgy. Mm-hmm. Actually, she started out, and I love this, she started out with, hey, honey, how are you doing? Are you available to talk? right? Making sure to not have this conversation in the middle of a sports game or anything like that, right? Or when you've just gotten home from work and it was a really bad day, not the time to bring this stuff up.
Got it.
Right? Make sure somebody's present with you, not that they're like in the middle of trying to, you know, run out the door to the office. Mm-hmm. And she said, hey, you know, are you available? I saw this thing. Would you mind trying it sometime? And he, instead of being like, oh, my God, you're crazy. That's kinky. That's weird. That's whatever. Instead of that, he said, you know, I've never tried that. But if you want to, I'm game to try it once.
Mm-hmm. That's,
to me, that's what relationship and connection is about. Even if it's something that you think is really strange.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of bemoaning someone, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we talk about, being accepting in relationships. But that's mm-hmm. an example of being accepting. You know, just bring me what you got, babe, and we'll figure it out from there.
Well, and in the case of right now, like hot in politics and hot in whatever, right? You've got this whole discussion around the leaked material that might have been heard about Donald Trump with having hired prostitutes that engaged in what gets called water sports or peeing, right?
Ooh.
Peeing on each other.
Ooh.
I had not heard that.
Right?
You heard this?
Yeah.
I only heard that he had been on. This is in not even 24 hours.
Yeah, the whole golden shower. Yeah, it's been out there.
I didn't know it was called water sport, though.
And it's called, this is called golden showers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some people enjoy them because it's an interesting sensation. Some people enjoy it because it's embarrassing or humiliating or humbling. Some people enjoy it because it's a power trip, right? Lots of discussions on why. But it was really interesting to me that I was seeing people say, like, oh, my gosh, I'm into that. Mm. And some people being like, oh, that's really freaky. That's really scary. Why would you want to do that? You're broken. You're strange. You're weird.
And you're president. Mm.
But here's the thing. In that case, the problem was not he's going to be the president.
No.
And that he did any of these things. Whether he did these things or not, I don't care.
Right.
That's somebody's sex life. That's somebody's whatever. The problem is when somebody's blackmailable.
Mm.
And so to me, people were talking about, that whole peeing on each other thing, that's just disgusting, that's strange. To me, I look at any sexual behavior and I go, is everybody consenting?
Go for it.
Yeah? Okay. Is everybody of age mm-hmm. and can actually fully consent in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Is it harming anyone or anything, right? Nothing's being hurt in this situation. We're cool.
Okay.
And to me, that's where acceptance comes in, is if you don't understand something, your spouse says to you, you know, I think it'd be cool to get peed on sometime. Even if you're not into it, they're saying, I will do it, because maybe you don't want to. Mm-hmm. We can still say with love, wow, I don't know anything about that. What about that turns you on? Because maybe, right? Maybe somebody says, "I want you to tie me up, and have sex with me."
Mm-hmm.
But you're not really into the tying up thing. If I ask somebody, "Well, what about that's hot to you?" I've had people say, "Well, I want to feel like you're controlling me." Oh, well, we could do something without tying up where I control you. In our role-playing,
mm-hmm.
that I could probably do. Or somebody might say, I want to have it feel like you're capturing me because you think I'm beautiful and you want to possess me. Oh, well, I can just use the word, you're mine, a lot, and show you that I possess you.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with internationally known sexuality, relationships, and personal authenticity educator, Lee Harrington. And he's schooling us on BDSM. Lee, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
Well, my website is passionandsoul.com. And you can find on there all my upcoming appearances, my different books. I've got a twice-a-month podcast that people can follow online at iTunes. It's Passion and Soul. Anywhere on the internet, pretty much. I'm those three words as one word. Mm-hmm. And coming up, I'll actually be in the greater D.C. area this summer for an event called Dark Odyssey, which is going to be in Northern Maryland, which I'm really excited about coming back out for. It's every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I, if people want to join me, actually, the real exciting one that I'm looking forward to is I'm going to be doing an event called Beach Bind at Hedonism 2 in Jamaica this April for people who want to have a week-long vacation away from the world to go to a clothing optional resort. That's the one I'm really looking forward to coming up shortly.
Mm.
Are you a Biggie fan?
I am, actually.
So you check out where I'm going to take this.
Okay.
So do you know where I'm going to take it, Lee?
I'm horribly curious.
Okay. All right.
Are you talking about the hip-hop artist or
yes,
yeah, just in general Biggie?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my
God. That was a legitimate distinction.
Ooh, boy. All right. So he had three albums, and some would say two. The first two. And in his second album, he talks about some of an experience similar to something that Lee is talking about in terms of the golden shower. But it wasn't pee, it was poop.
Oh,
so he says this woman wants him to stand over her and poop on her.
Oh, man.
And he's amazed at it. He's like, and he's talking, the context is he's talking to a friend.
Okay.
And then, so he cuts from this is what she wants to, well, after I poop on her, then, yeah, I hit that.
Oh, my God. We cleaned it up first. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if he cleaned it up or if it was just lotion or something like that. But this was introduced to the hip-hop community very overtly.
Yeah, in a song.
In that song, yes. Or in the preface, right before a song.
Oh, okay.
Or it was on an album.
Okay.
Do you remember that, Lee? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's funny because, so the technical term is coprophilia, somebody who enjoys scat.
Okay.
Also referred to as scat play.
Okay.
The challenge, there's a couple different ones. One is STDs. Hepatitis A and B are just, the risk factors involved are pretty serious with that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. With bloodborne pathogens and whatnot, and just infections. But aside from that, a lot of us enjoy anal, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens with anal sometimes? Well, you end up engaging with what is in the same area of the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
right? This is just on a conscious level rather than a, let's wipe that out of the way and keep going mm-hmm. level.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, what do people do with the poop? I was joking about lotion, like rubbing it on like lotion, but I assume.
Whatever they do is dangerous.
Well, do people do that or do they clear it off or what happened? How interesting does that interaction with the poop get?
Well, welcome to the high end of the scale discussion. it's interesting. I've met a number of people mm-hmm. who engage in that direction of activity in the last 20 years.
Okay.
And it's not a really popular one. But I know some people mm-hmm. who do. And for some people, it's about humiliation play, right? Like, I want you to dominate me.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the lowest thing I could be? I can be your toilet.
Mm.
Right? So some of it's just psychological, and it's just do stuff on my skin, we wash off, and then we're done, because that's all it was.
Okay.
For some people, it's sensation, right? You're talking about smearing. For some, it's that experience of having it on your body and feeling disgusting or dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or naughty, right? Like pretend to be a toddler again. Right? Like this mm-hmm. is just a dirty, gross thing to play with.
Okay.
Wow. And okay. somebody like changed their diaper or cleaned them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for some people I know, there is a desire to ingest or eat. That is where we're talking about the highest risk of health concerns.
Right.
And I think that's something that should really be undertaken consciously. It's kind of like having unprotected sex with a stranger. Like, you need to be really conscious about whether you're making that choice or not.
Right.
I can't imagine a person not being conscious having that experience. Like, that will conscious you up. You will awake.
Well, and in this case that you're
the germs.
Yeah, this thing you're making, she asked for it.
But, you know, when you were talking, and you know, half joking, whatever, before about, you know, the, actually talking quite honestly and lovingly about, you know, men who pay to go and see professionals.
Yeah.
And there are some really lovely ones that I know out there. The concern that I have is that they occasionally get requests from guys to do these kinds of activities on them, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
With the guys not thinking through fully that their body has to last longer than the encounter,
right?
Kind of like when people get drunk at a club and go have sex with somebody, they're not thinking beyond tonight.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And so in this case, their fantasy gets so turned on that they don't think about what happens to their body afterwards.
And
you might be paying a professional because they have a skill set, but that doesn't mean you know anything about their body health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a reason that people go to bunny ranches in Nevada. It's because they know that the girls get tested every week.
Right.
Bunny ranch.
But there's safety.
Yeah.
Bunny ranch.
You don't know about the bunny ranch?
No.
Come on.
Seriously, what's a bunny ranch? Is this the Playboy?
The Playboy bunny ranch.
Playboy bunny
ranch. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it's not the Playboy bunny ranch.
It's
a brothel. It's a legal brothel.
Any of the brothels in Bordeaux's. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And so, like, there's a reason people go to those. And for me, when people bring up any sort of activity that I'm not familiar with, I want to know how to do it safely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's, for me, everything from, like, what temperature do you cook your pork to? Right? Like, you can go and look that up.
Yeah.
And if somebody says, I want to play with your urine, you know what I can type in? Is urine safe to drink, you know, to have on your body? And the answer is, yeah, you can have it on your body.
Yes, you can have it on your body.
Okay. Right? The drinking.
If you're drinking it, stuff can get passed down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, the amount of drugs that are left in people's system after peeing, mm-hmm. like there are people who go, I have way too many friends of mine in the raver community historically, and they're just like, people would go to raves and drink people's pee to get the drugs. And I'm like, y'all crazy.
Wow.
Right?
Deep.
And there's also STDs that can get passed down in urine.
Mm-hmm.
And so just awareness around your body. And it's like when people say like, oh, well, it's fine, you know, that we had sex of whatever sort it is. I didn't come. Well, that doesn't actually mean anything.
Mm.
There's still exposure to almost every possible STD, whether somebody ejaculated or not.
And people drink urine. There are people that drink urine.
Yeah.
Yes.
As part of whether it's a humiliation fantasy, whether it is a possessiveness experience, whether it's a sensual experience, yeah, it's really fascinating. The diversity of human passions.
Mm-hmm.
I have met somebody who is absolutely aroused by Argyle socks.
Okay.
Right? Those plaid socks?
Yeah.
I know somebody who, that's their fantasy. That is their thing, is having sex with somebody who is wearing their Argyle socks.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I want to get back to...
Everybody's different.
What's... The acronym. So what's the S, SADO? SM is sadomasochism?
Correct.
Okay, so what does that look like?
So sadism and masochism are really tricky words because there's clinical sadism and masochism, and then they're what most people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Clinical sadism is deriving pleasure off harming living things,
mm.
right? So this is like the Jeffrey Dahmers of the world, right? This is people ripping wings off butterflies. Like, that's clinical sadism.
Whoa.
And clinical masochism is receiving pleasure from truly being harmed by another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Truly,
right?
Being,
like,
harmed.
Like, right. Like, it's somebody or just being harmed.
Yeah.
Right. These are people who experience pleasure from purposely stubbing their own toe or having their bone broken.
Some pain.
Right. These are not things we're talking about when people in the BDSM community are saying sadist and masochist.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what they're talking about.
Okay.
So what are they talking about?
The description I love is giving. I love giving intense sensation, and I like receiving intense sensation.
Mm-hmm.
So an intense sensation could be, like I said, a spanking, doing something with a thin whip that somebody knows how to use.
Choking?
Right. So choking can be painful. It's also incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who has studied martial arts, who knows about, you know, chokeholds, knows if you need to learn how to do them properly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? You just do. And the number of people I know who are doing stuff in unsafe ways, the most common form of death in these kinds of play is people who are doing bondage with no one watching them, right? Somebody who gets tied up and the other person walks away from, you know, to leave the house and come back 2 hours later. Or with suffocation and strangulation. Those are the two ways that people die the most in doing these things.
I'm glad you put that out there. There's a death component.
There is that risk because I'm cutting off blood flow to someone's brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It kills blood. They call it killing blood cells for a reason, like killing brain cells for a reason, because they're killing brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
There's risk in a lot of these things. But there's a great acronym out there, which is called RAC, which is Risk Aware Consensual Kink.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Do we know what risks there are? Are we aware of them? Is everybody consenting and we're still being kinky? Okay. That means actually knowing the risks. For a lot of other people, it's a simpler motto, which I love, which is SSC, safe, sane, and consensual. Is everybody playing safe? Are we all sane and sober-headed while we're making these decisions? Is everybody consenting? We win.
Okay.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking to internationally known sexuality, relationships, and personal authenticity educator, Lee Harrington. He's been schooling us on BDSM. Lee, last time, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
I am up to all kinds of adventures right now, from writing and blogging to podcasting and teaching, and you can find my stuff over at passionandsoul.com.
Hmm.
Along today's journey, we've discussed clearly BDSM, the descriptions of the various components of the acronym. We've discussed kink and also various actual activities that people participate into that can be described as a little different.
A little different.
Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer, and thank you to my guest, Lee Harrington. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/relationshipflove. On Twitter at Mr., that's M-R, Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.